T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The infection rate from the coronavirus not slowing down yet. Also, it's claiming a new victim. It's the global economy. Hundreds of multinational companies are warning investors about slowing revenue and production because of the coronavirus outbreak in China. You think of all the people who can't get to work because they're basically on lockdown.
Well, and, you know, people who stand in line every time Apple produces another iPhone, there's not great news for those folks because Apple says its production lines are badly hurt by the coronavirus. Same, by the way, for General Motors, as assembly lines have remained paralyzed. Pretty much any company, you know, that makes anything in China has seen a negative impact. Ron Insana is a contributor to CNBC and MSNBC, host of the Market Scoreboard Report. So, Ron, this doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon. They're trying to open up these companies, but where are the workers coming from?
Well, that's the key question, guys. I mean, the fact is that there are still anywhere between 50 million people in effective quarantine and 150 million people whose movements are restricted. So Wuhan province, where this all originated, is hardest hit, and it is an area of production that supplies consumer electronic parts, auto parts, and the like. And so if people aren't going into work and people aren't consuming both at the same time in China, that is disrupting these supply chains that make everything from really iPhones all the way out, as you mentioned, to automobiles. So we don't know. I mean, the Chinese government's trying to stimulate its economy with interest rate reductions and additional spending. But again, if no one's going to work and not producing anything, that is going to be somewhat ineffective at this point in the cycle.
So we rattled off a list of companies. Who stands to take the hardest hit?
Well, Apple took a pretty big hit in the market today. It was, you know, down several percent. And listen, I mean, there's nothing catastrophic from a percentage decline. It was a few percent down, and Apple, you know, has a market value of somewhere approaching $1.4 trillion. So from a longer-term perspective, this may be, you know, hopefully just a blip on the radar. The question is whether or not the coronavirus is peaking in China and warmer weather or certainly less inhospitable conditions will allow it to kind of run its course, or whether it's maybe peaking in China but accelerating elsewhere, Japan, Thailand, South Korea, and other places where a lot of, you know, key components are made, again, for consumer electronics goods, some automobiles and things like that. That's an open question. We're not sure about that. Japan's economy, apart and aside from the coronavirus, contracted at a better than 6% annual rate in the fourth quarter. So you already see weakness in Asian economies, irrespective of this. This just adds more weakness to that part of the world.
Do you think, Ron, that the U.S. is learning a lesson from this? And by that, I mean that we've sort of over the years put all of our eggs, or a lot of our eggs anyway, into one giant basket, being China, moving a lot of production there, a lot of companies there. And this is kind of the price we're paying.
Yeah, it's one of the prices we've paid. I mean, the other price that we haven't paid is the fact that, you know, the cost of consumer goods has come down dramatically, you know, because of the offshoring or globalization process that's taking place and because of some of the technological innovations that's taking place here at home. Now, companies are trying to distribute or kind of diversify their supply chains into places like Vietnam and Mexico, but no other country besides the U.S. and China has the manufacturing capacity, particularly of China, as a low-cost producer. That they have. And so it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, we enjoy lower prices, less inflation, because the goods coming from China are relatively cheaper. The flip side is that, yeah, we're overly dependent on China as a manufacturing center, and we're overly dependent on a country that, when it comes to issues like this, is, number one, not transparent, two, has not been terribly effective in treating, you know, epidemics or pandemics. If you go back to SARS or the avian flu, things like that emanated out of China in years past, They tend to either cover it up or not deal with it as effectively as they could. And it causes not just supply chain disruptions, but certainly, as we're seeing now, travel disruptions. We're seeing, you know, well, casinos in Macau are going to reopen relatively soon. But you know, gaming companies that operate in Asia have also taken big hits just based on the rapid and really dramatic reduction in not just in international travel, but even within China. The roads are effectively in some parts of the country empty where they'd normally be, you know, would make Los Angeles look like a, you know, kind of a picnic when it comes to traffic.
Ron Zana, contributor to CNBC and MSNBC, host of the Market Scoreboard Report.